Good morning, church. Good to be with you this morning. It's always a blessing to have the opportunity to stand before you, and it usually happens a couple of times during the year for myself, and I do count it as a blessing. Bless you. Whether you are with us here in person or with us virtually, welcome. It's certainly a blessing to be gathered as God's people today. Before we get started this morning, a couple of other additional announcements that I want to make. Sorry, Justin, I was halfway listening to your announcements. It's a habit I have, I think. I want to make sure if we didn't mention it, we continue to remember Sister Myra Blizzard in her recovery, certainly. Also, Brother Grady Wilson is going to be having surgery on Tuesday. That's certainly on our hearts. Also, we understand just a few minutes ago that Ashley White was notified that her uncle has just passed away. And certainly we extend our condolences to the family. We love you guys very much. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for the way that you love us. Father, for your steadfastness, for your faithfulness towards us, for your grace and your mercy and your love, God, we thank you. We thank you that in times such as these and in all times we can come before your throne and lay before you the burdens of our heart. Father, this morning we are saddened and our heart goes out to Ashley and her family and the loss of her uncle that's just happened. And Father, we know that you bring a peace that we can find nowhere else. And so, God, I pray in a very special way that you continue to be with Ashley and her family in this loss. Comfort them, Father. Give them peace. Be with us all as we strive to hold her up, to love her, and support each other, Father, in the more difficult times of our lives. Father, we often say, and it's so true, we just don't know how we can endure the difficulties of this life if it were not for you and for our church family. Father, continue to bless Ashley and her family at this time. In Jesus, I pray. Amen. I also understand in that we have the completed Talbot family here all together for the first time this morning. And as we would normally do, Terry would get to hold a baby and all of that, but socially distancing, bad luck fell on me, but Dad, if you'd like to hold up precious Finley, look at that baby back there. Goodness gracious. In a crazy, crazy, unprecedented year, those are the moments that I want to remember the most. Biased opinion accepted. Church, I love you. And I stand before you on behalf of our elders to extend our sincere appreciation for the support that you have shown us this year. It's been crazy. I'm tired of talking about how crazy it's been, and I know you are too. On the screen, you'll see a subtitle under 2021, a most anticipated year. And I guess that's because we've just been wanting to get out of this year so bad so that we can start fresh and everything will just be all right. Back to, what's that word? Normal. That word may actually get removed from the dictionary very soon, it seems, because normal is being redefined each and every day. But, church, we are the family of God. And so no matter what it is that we face in this life, whether it be simple or whether it be tragic, we're in this for the long game. We're in this for the long haul. We're in this for the eternal reward. We're in this so that one day we'll be together forever with those that have gone on before us and with the Godhead and with the untold numbers of angels. And I look forward to that day. But maybe that day will not be today. I think I would be okay if it was today. But what I'd like for us to do for a few minutes, and I won't keep you long, is I would like for us to talk a little bit about 2020 and a lot about 2021. And so I'm going to show you a little bit about our budget for next year. And I'd like to talk to you about the theme that we're going to adopt for 2021. Yes, this is a most anticipated year, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm praying that so many things will change in 2021. One of the things that will not change is our need for dollars, for money. Money makes the world go round. It's what pays the bills. It keeps the lights on. It keeps food on our tables. It pays our mortgage and our expenses and our luxuries. Money is a needed part of our lives. The same is true here at Azalea City. We are a part of many, many great works. And those are funded by our dollars. And I'll start off by telling you that we had an anticipation that when COVID hit in the first quarter of this year, we didn't know financially what in the world was going to happen because families were being impacted. And so because families get impacted, we knew that surely the church would be impacted as well. And it was. But Azalea City is a remarkable place, full of remarkable people. And I'm very happy to tell you that although on paper we didn't completely meet our budget, depending on how things shake out today, we're going to be around $15,000 short of what our projected budget was. But if you think back, there were weeks and weeks and weeks where we weren't using this building, right? And so many areas of our budget, we didn't actually spend that money. And so the net result is very positive. We've been actually able to put money aside, which is a great blessing. And so we are going to end 2020 in a very good place financially. And we have our God to thank that for that. And on behalf of the elders, I want to thank you for your liberal, generous giving. So what are we going to do in 2021? You know, someone had suggested potentially, we had a couple of meetings around the budget, and it was suggested maybe what we ought to do is just keep the budget the same as it was last year. Right? Because we really didn't get to engage that budget fully. But that's not what our ministry leaders had in mind. As has been the case for as long as I have been part of this congregation, the men who have stepped up with aggressive budgets have done so on a united front. And each of the last several years, we have increased our budget by anywhere from 3 to 6% each year. And to a man, each one in that room has said that they would do their part to step up, to take us to the next level so that we can continue to do the great work in the Lord's name. Such was the case recently in our last meeting. Our budget for 2021, you'll see the number there, 619,000,
and some change. So our weekly need is going to increase about $500 from the 2020 budget. So our weekly need is now going to be $11,905. That budget increase, again, along with what we have been doing, is a 4.5% increase, or almost $27,000. Again, the leadership, the ministry team, the elders, the deacons, they're confident that we will meet this budget or exceed this budget because we are people of faith. And so, this is our challenge, financial challenge for the year. We will do our best, I know. And I know that God will reward our work. It sounds like a theme, doesn't it, Terry? I do ask that you pray for our financial situation, that our members each can be in a good place financially. Those that have lost jobs will find jobs. Those that have jobs can keep their jobs, so that we can continue to do the Lord's work in a mighty way. So when we talk about a theme, when 2019 was coming to an end, and we were talking about what do we want to focus on, here we go, for 2020, we kind of knew, when Terry and I were talking about this, we kind of knew that folks were going to go in the 2020 vision way. And that would have made a lot of sense. We just didn't want to follow that trend. So we got close. But you know, when I look back, Terry probably agrees with this, that this theme that we have for 2020, very providential. How could we ever have known that what we needed most in 2020 was a hyper focus? Our ministry team has done an amazing job to bring to our attention those things to keep our focus where it needs to be. Because I'm sure we would all agree that there have been every conceivable distraction to take our focus off of what was important. So we think, how do we go from here? Right? How do we move forward from a 2020 focus? Well, to do that, I thought we should look back and see what made the most sense. We did that. Our 2021 theme is elevate. Now, I know we all know that word, but what does that mean? The dictionary defines elevate in a few different ways. Maybe to assign to a higher position, raise from a lower to a higher position, or raise in rank or condition. So I can imagine, I can see the gears turning in your mind already. You're thinking, okay, you can put a spiritual application to this very easily. When you think about, we've been focused, now we need to elevate. Why this theme, church? And I think that's critically important that we understand why did we choose elevate as our 2021 theme. Well, let's go back for a moment. Now, this hasn't happened completely, maybe to all of us, but many of us can relate to some of these effects of 2020 on us. Church, in many ways, 2020, this year has lowered our eyes. This year has diluted our expectations. It may have minimized our impact or hampered our efforts. It has distracted, detracted, and extracted us. 2020 has divided, deterred, and oftentimes discouraged us. Maybe it can be said that masks that were meant to protect us have muzzled or silenced us. These things ought not to be. When I put this slide together, I thought that, you know, we're blaming it on this year and all the things that happened to us and the effect of all of these things in our lives. When it comes down to, it wasn't this year that did this to us, it was Satan that did this to us. When I had the opportunity to preach months ago, one of the things I called out is we need to remember who the enemy is here. Right? The enemy isn't the other political party. The enemy isn't those of other races. The enemy is not a disease. The enemy is the devil. And as I said before, the devil is at a field day with 2020. He has been able to take that year that has been haunting to us in so many ways and use it against God's people. Maybe we would agree that in many ways he's been very successful. Now, we have had some tremendous growth in many ways. Maybe not in numbers, but certainly in our devotion to God, it seems. I have seen spiritual maturity in people just skyrocket this year out of necessity. But Satan has lowered our eyes. It's Satan who has done these things to us. That's why we need to elevate. A most anticipated year. So what are we going to elevate this year, church? What things can we focus on? Well, in 2021, we must elevate our eyes, number one. Psalm 123, verse 1 says, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." You see, if we're going to look to deal with the craziness that is in our world today, the divisiveness that's in our world today, the hatred that exists in our world today, for us to survive, for us to flourish, for us to grow, then we have to look past what everyone else sees, what everyone else is focused on, and we need to elevate our eyes to the heavens. We need to look from a heavenly perspective. We need to elevate our eyes. Church, we need to elevate our expectations as well. We've been very challenged in times, you know, it wasn't but 6 months or so that we were having to worship, all of us, through the lens of that camera, that projector, to live stream. And we had to adapt to that. And many are still having to adapt to that because of the circumstances they find themselves in, their health situation. But we, as God's people, have to elevate our expectations of ourselves. That no matter how I have to worship, I will worship. No matter what I have to face, I'm a child of the King. No matter what I have to do, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, to the glory of God. We have a job to do, church. In 2021, we have a job to do. And I think at times this year, we could have forgotten that. There are folks that know that I am all about staying safe. Folks say, at some point, all of us are going to get the virus. I'm like, no, I might. But I'm going to try my best not to. I don't want it. But in the meantime, I still am a servant of God. Right? So I need to elevate my expectations of myself. I also need to elevate our impact, the impact that we have. Remember, we're studying this on our Sunday morning class, is this idea of telling our story. It's the declaration of our story of what Jesus means to us that will elevate our impact. And in order to do that, church, we have to elevate our efforts. We have to do more. Somehow. Yes, we have to be safe. Yes, we have to be cautious. But there are folks that are still dying without Jesus. And if we're not going to bring Jesus to them, then who will? Who can? We need to elevate our efforts. Yes, church, we need to elevate our worship. Psalm 86 and verse 12 says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. If you're sitting at home this morning, or you're sitting in these pews, our need to worship has never been stronger. I need more than ever to empty myself before the throne of God in worship. My reliance on Him is at an all-time high. That means I need to elevate my worship. I need to take it to the next level. We've just talked about our budget, so certainly we're going to need to elevate our giving. Terry did a great job bringing to us a reminder of what our approach to our giving should be. We also need to elevate our voice. Isaiah 40 and verse 9. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Church, individually and collectively, we have a mighty voice. Church, our voice is needed in this community. Friends, our voice is needed in this country. We need to lift our voice. We need to be heard. The world is in a bad place. We have the opportunity to bring them Jesus. Now, I hope the vaccine is very effective. I hope everybody gets better. And I hope that thing goes away. But that's not what we need most, church. That's not what the world needs most. We don't need a vaccine most. We need Jesus most. And it's our voice, elevated, that will bring Jesus to a lost and dying world. There's some other things that we can elevate. We must. We must elevate our influence, not just with the people that we work with, not just with our neighbors, but in our own homes. We need to elevate our influence. Fathers, parents. We, over this last year, well, mine are all grown, but those with children at home, you've seen them more this last year. Our influence is everything. Even if we're having to worship from home, even if things are so different, we're having to have different habits and do things in different ways, parents, we still have the responsibility to be that influence to our children, to our grandchildren. We must elevate our hearts, church. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41 says, "Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven." What God wants from us more than anything else is our hearts. Maybe because we've been so distracted. Maybe because we've been so deterred. Maybe because we've been so discouraged, we've held some of our heart close. We need to elevate our hearts, church. Not only do we need to give our hearts to God, but we need to give our hearts to others. Let that be demonstrated in elevating our conversation. Wherever we go, Jesus has to be on our lips. We are His. He left us a great work to do. We also need to elevate our priorities. Psalm chapter 63 and verse 4 says, "Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name." What's more important? What else do we need to be focused on? How else do we need to be spending our time? Yes, we have jobs, and yes, we have this and that we need to do. But have we elevated our priorities to their rightful place? What's interesting is if you go back to one of the first slides, it defined how that elevate is actually taking something from a lower position to a higher position. Is that what we've done to God in any way? Has God in 2020, because of all the difficulties you and I've had to face, has God been at a level that we've never really had Him at before, in the wrong direction? And thus, we now need to elevate Him to His rightful place in our lives. Next, it's really important when we're thinking about elevating. We need to elevate each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." This year, many of us have needed someone there to lift us up. I know I have. I know that I've allowed 2020 or however you want to categorize it to discourage me. I know that I have allowed it to distract me. I know that I have allowed it to realign my priorities inappropriately. But because I have people who love me and care for me, I was lifted up. I was encouraged. Church, that's one of the things that we have one of the greater opportunities to grow in this next upcoming year, is we need to look out for each other. There's a lot of isolation that's happening right now. We need to be there for each other. We need to check on one another. In doing so, what we're really doing is we're elevating our compassion. Not just our compassion for our family and our friends, and not just our compassion for our brethren, but we need to elevate our compassion for the lost. And in doing so, we will be elevating our evangelism. That's my job, church. That's your job. To tell the story of Jesus. Does He deserve to be elevated? Yes, He does. So, I hate to bring it to you. I know some, depending on what news channel you watch, it may tell you that COVID's going to end on Friday and everything go back to normal. But what 2020 brought us is still going to exist this Friday, January 1st, 2021. COVID-19, social distancing. You'd think as many times I've said that. The racial tensions that exist, the political divisiveness, the inconvenient ordinances, the keyboard cowards and the two-thumb know-it-alls. They're all still going to be here on Friday when we start a new year. Yeah, you know, folks, even Justin was saying this morning, and a lot of people have said this, now, boy, we're just ready to get out of 2020 as fast as we can. And I get it. But our enemy's not done. And our enemy will be here Friday when you wake up. So, we've got to press on. What do we do? What do we do? Well, in everything that we face, church, in everything that we're going through, if we want to overcome those things, then what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to elevate. When we're trying to figure out how to be, how to navigate this, when we're so sick and tired of being sick and tired of a mask, and not being able to hug your brothers and sisters, and not being able to have big family gatherings, and all these things that we want to do. We want to go with 180 other people to a restaurant and sit elbow to elbow. You know, all these things that are just so important to us. When these things are weighing on us so heavy, turn to God's Word. Matthew 6:33 aligns it for us. When it's just too much and I'm mad and I can't take it anymore. Matthew 6:33 says, if I seek the kingdom first and His righteousness, then all these things will be taken care of. They'll be okay. It doesn't mean that I'm going to get to go to the restaurant. It doesn't mean that my life is going to be back to normal or the way I want it to be. It's just that I'm going to be taken care of. But God's the priority. I elevate Him to His place. I seek Him first. That's how I deal with the difficulties that 2020 kicked us with and 2021 is liable to follow up with. When emotionally, I'm just done. When I'm tired of hearing about people that I know and love being sick, being in the hospital for months and on ventilators and the divide that's happened within people, even within the brotherhood, right? You're having to unfriend people on social media because of their opinions and things are getting out of whack and you're like, what has happened to us? Then we go to Romans 8:28 that reminds us that all things work together for good. To who? To us who love God. We are the called according to His purpose. And when we believe that and when we act like that, then all things will work together for good. It may not be the most comfortable. It may not be the most convenient. It may not be the thing that I want the most. But all things work together for good. And I have faith.
don't you? Because I have faith, I can deal with this. I said, look, probably it was a little early to say it in April when things were just kicking us upside the head. We didn't know how to react. But I said back then, what I really believe still today is that you and I were built to be able to handle this, church. Our whole lives, if you've been in the Lord's church for any amount of time, then you've been crafted, you've been molded, you've been built to deal with situations like this. Jesus foretold these things would happen when He said that in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. We have no temptation that's out there that we don't have a way to escape it. We know when this life is over that the life to come is going to be better than I could ever imagine, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. So because of that, my inconvenience, my anxiety, my stress, my worry, my suffering and my pain, it's a season. It hurts. It's tough. But it's here for a time. And when we deal with difficult people that are pushing every button we have, when we come to work with four nerves and they've gotten on every one of them, when somebody's posting something on social media that you know they know better and you want to retaliate, what we need to look at is James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He's talking about elevating. The backside of that verse says when we do that, He will lift you up. There's a day coming that I'm looking forward to when the Lord is going to lift me up. In the meantime, I'm going to elevate. And then lastly, when you feel like you're struggling because you're making compromises because of the way this year has kind of turned out, and you're being tempted to take a hands-off approach to 2020, and a hands-off approach to 2021, and you don't know what to do and how to do. You're just going to try to survive and just get through life. And what gets maybe forgotten in all of that is that we serve the God of the universe, the Creator of the universe. Then maybe we need to think about Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 that tells us, hey, George, all you have to do is be faithful unto death. That's all. Jimmy Presley was talking about in his class this morning how that when's the longest part of our existence going to start? It's like when we pass from this world. He said he's 64 and it's like this. It's just gone by in a flash. So he says, if I'm faithful unto death, that I get the crown of life. That's what I'm working towards. Now, I can tell you, this was a pretty easy lesson to put together, if you want to know the truth. Because I know what we should do. You could have put this lesson together too. Because you know what we should do. I just picked, we picked the word, the theme, and you could have filled in the blanks. But here's what I know. I know you've been through a lot. You've been separated from people that you love and your family that you haven't been able to see, haven't been able to love on. I know you know people that you love so much that have been sick. I know that many of you know that our children have, many of them have paid a very dear price because of the emotional stress that has gone along with this year and this isolation and the difficulties.
There's a lot of people that I miss. There's a lot of people that I miss fellowshipping with. Two of our elders haven't been able to be here since March. And that's tough. It's tough for them. And it's tough for us. Samantha always says, when we, each of us, gives our opinion about something, that our feelings are our feelings. So I know this has been hard. But Sunday's coming. We have each other. We have our Heavenly Father. And if we elevate our lives in service to Him, He provides us the peace that we can't get anywhere else. He has provided us a redemption and a salvation that can be found in no other name. And He is going to provide us a home that will last forever, and there'll be no more virus. In the meantime, I have you and you have me. And because of that, I'm going to be all right, and so are you. Church, on behalf of the elders, thank you for everything that you do and everything that you are. Thank you for demonstrating a resolve to serve our God in these unprecedented times. Hopefully I'll never say that again. I pray so much that 2021 brings us joy and peace. But I know where the real joy and peace comes from. Would you bow as we close in prayer? Father God, thank you for being with us always. Father, you're always there when we need you. Father, I pray that as we conclude this year that has been challenging in so many ways, Father, thank you for bringing us through. Thank you for forgiving us for those times when we have let opportunities pass us by to share the message of your Son with people that we come in contact with. Thank you for forgiving us for the distractions and the detractions that have happened and the discouragements that we've faced. But God, thank you much more for the body of Christ here that has been such a beacon for all of us as we've been navigating through this difficult time. Father, as we look forward to 2021, Father, I pray that we elevate every area of our lives spiritually, so that we are more aligned with your will for our lives, that no matter what we deal with, that our eyes are always on the prize, Father. Our eyes are always fixed on the cross. Our eyes are always fixed on heaven, and that we serve you with our whole heart. We love you, God, and we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning, if you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come now as together we stand and sing.